a soul.
Yes. Hallo en welkom, lieve luisteraars, bij Funky Nassau van donderdag 12 oktober. Ik ben vandaag niet alleen in de studio. Ik heb vandaag meegenomen Gary Shepherd. Gary, welcome, man.
Hello, my brother.
How are you today?
Oh, yes. Rocking and rolling.
Are you doing good?
Yes, very nice.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, Gary Shepherd is like a DJ worth with more than 20, 25 more experience as a DJ, producer, organizer, and everything around it in throughout Amsterdam.
A veteran.
That's what you like to call it. Well, veteran sounds so old, man, and you're not old, man. You're still young,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's the music, though. The music keeps you young.
Yeah, that's true, man. That's true. So, you've been doing a lot of stuff, and we're going to talk about your most recent project, which is premiering next week during ADE.
Yep.
It's going to be in the Stad Schouwburg.
Yep.
You were actually working on it today, right?
Yeah, I've just come from the other Schouwburg, where we've got everything all set up, and we've been there for 4 days with the whole crew, technicians, lights, decor, everything. It's getting super exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. And are you guys feeling ready for next week?
Oh, totally, totally. Yeah. We're all super psyched. Like, sometimes you sit on a project and you just kind of deep inside, you're just like, oh my God, yeah, this is going to blow some minds. You're not supposed to say that out loud, but I just did.
All right. Well,
it's supposed to be a feeling you keep on the inside, but we're all very excited. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like it's a theater show made by Nicole Beutler.
Yeah.
And it's starting next week. And
theater, I would call it, it's a crossover. Contemporary dance, theater, sometimes installation. It definitely touches a lot of gray areas. It's a mixture of disciplines.
All right, and you are responsible for the musical parts.
Yeah, I composed all the music. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So you're actually a composer, and that's nice, man. For like a little English hooligan that came here in the 90s.
Yeah, for me, it's always been, I always had kind of, well, music has always been my first love, and it will be my last. And so basically, yeah, I've discovered these certain areas in music which do touch upon each other, DJing, producing, composer, they all have a red line through them, but they all deserve their own area and their own kind of focus. So yeah, I have my identity for when I'm in clubs, I have my identity when I'm doing composing, and I have my own producer identity, and I keep them a little bit separate.
So yeah, you're also known as DJ Streamer and Streamer Nymphonic Orchestra.
Yeah.
And I'm forgetting one name.
I went many, many years under the DJ name of DJ Alex Smart, and did many nights in Paradiso, Melkweg, actually all around Holland, but that was my DJ alter ego from that era.
Cool, man. So let's just start where it all started. You were born in the UK.
Yep.
What was your place of birth again?
I'm from Northamptonshire. In the East Midlands.
All right. And how did your love for music, DJing, producing, how did it start?
My dad is a musician as well, so that would be absolutely the first where the seed was planted.
What did he play?
My dad used to play bass guitar in a couple of bands, but so there were always instruments at home, and very early I kind of asked my dad if he would teach me how to play guitar. And then it hurt my fingers too much, so I stopped 2 days afterwards. And then after a couple of years, I thought, maybe I'll just try this again. So I sat on my own without my father and kind of tried to practice. And I played bass guitar for, from when I was like 14.
Wow.
Like,
yeah, because bass guitars have big fat strings, man. It's harder on the fingers than
I don't know, those little sharp, thin ones from guitars are also quite painful.
Yeah, true. True. So yeah, you started playing the bass at a young age.
Yeah.
And you came to Amsterdam when you were 20?
20, 21, something like that, yeah.
How did that happen?
For love. I fell I fell in love with a Dutch girl in England.
Oh, right.
And when she had Petra, hello Petra.
Shout out Petra.
Shout out Petra. still also one of my bosom buddies, soulmates all these years afterwards. And yeah, when she had finished her period studying in England, she kind of gave me the invitation, would you like to come to Amsterdam? Which was the best invitation anybody had offered me in my lifetime.
This is 97,
something like that. Yeah,
That's a it's quite a special time for a lot of musical genres and movements. We were just talking about, for example, Multigroove, like the house scene was blowing up, and for example, Multigroove. Ilja Reimann was at the show. Shout out Ilja Reimann. You actually went to these parties, like it was.
Multigroove, I was at many times. I also way back in the day, I played at two of the big Hellraiser events, Sport Hall of South and some other. But the Sport Hall of South one, I think, was the biggest. I'm sure was the biggest rave that Holland had ever had at that time. So this was 22,000 people, and so it was history in the making. So it was quite a well, for me anyway, it was a huge, not only was it an amazing opportunity to, I played in an ambient room for 6,000 people, but to be in a party of 22,000 people, and it was the very, very early days of the Gabber movement. So it was full on, it was totally honest. It hadn't had its commercial hits yet or its bad stories in the newspapers and things like that. So it was super genuine and 100% Holland, Dutch made.
So you came there as English geezer?
As a foreigner still, but, as an English person, we have a fair bit of credibility in the club scene.
True.
So, but to be able to observe something which was like born and nurtured inside Holland and had a truly unique Dutch stamp on it, the Gabber, the hardcore.
So how did you end up playing at Hellraiser?
Yeah, because Raymond from Hellraiser was kind of a friend at the time. So I knew some of the people that were organizing, and they, as they were getting bigger and bigger, they were adding more and more rooms to the event. So it was... and also the nature of these events, they really needed a chill out room. Because the, you know, the hardcore room was like just like like 400% on
chill after a bit, you know.
So they realized the importance of having this other area, and because the nature of the parties were so big, a chill out room meant 6,000 people.
That's crazy, man.
So that was also just totally insane.
And what kind of music would you play there?
Now, I've always tried to be a little bit cheeky with my choices. For sure, I would have... ambient music was also having a very strong period at that time. This is like the leading up to like the years just before trip-hop started. So ambient music was still a little bit in the stage where it had to be for a relaxation, a kind of chill purpose. But very quickly onto this, beats were starting to come in, like the hip hop attitude with against chill out music became trip hop. So all of a sudden, our ambient rooms, we were all of a sudden allowed to play beats, and that was also totally in the right vibe. And then we also learned how to beat mix, because that maybe hadn't have been such a the same necessity in the ambient rooms.
Were you playing with vinyl back then?
No,
or CDs?
Not even. I had a thing going on with DAT recorders.
All right.
Like, because I had digital recorders, because I was, I already had a studio and I was already making music, and I needed to record it on the highest definition. So I had these DAT recorders. So a few.
What is a DAT recorder?
It's a digital tape recorder. So it was. So let's say, before things like Napster kicked off, the file sharing platforms, I had figured out this system. If I recorded all the music that I could get my hands on, if I recorded that onto digital tape, and I developed a system by which I could beat mix using two DAT recorders, and a sort of catalog system. So I had I invented a whole inventory system.
Sounds cool, man. You were actually a pioneer in the mixing.
I think I'm the only person ever. No, I do know that in the scene, and I only heard this afterwards, but in the Goa trance scene, many people also used DAT recorders there, because lugging vinyl around in hot countries is not a very clever idea. So it became a bit of a thing apparently in the Goa scene as well, to have DAT recorders.
So DAT recorders aren't that heavy. They're small.
A DAT recorder is like a bit bigger than a Walkman, if anybody can still remember what a Walkman is.
Yeah, I do. I definitely do. Maybe, man. All our listeners are 40, 50 plus, okay, man. So okay, they know. Yeah, they know. Yeah, yeah. So, and you were already playing your own songs back then?
A little bit later. I think a few years later than that, I had my first release was on the Amsterdam label called Lucid Recordings, which was a label run by the Matzo nightclub back in the day. Matzo had like two or three record labels. And the record label Lucid Recordings was run by another English man called Steve Green. And it was very progressive, with a bit of a wink towards the UK sound. And I approached him one day and said, look, this is the kind of music I'm making. I feel like I'm nearly ready to release things. Would you be interested? And I let them hear it, and it was right up the sort of avenue that they wanted to work on. So I was the first release or second release on Lucid Recordings.
Cool.
So that was also Amsterdam. It started in Amsterdam.
Yeah, man. So I want to play one of your songs. It's the long lost Antarctic tape. And this is a recording. Is this new or old?
Yeah, it's maybe 2 years, something like that. I think it's definitely. It was a lockdown, made in lockdown.
Oh, it's a lockdown song. Okay. Yeah. I cannot even remember the lockdown anymore, man. But
it was a productive period for me.
Yeah,
all things said, the fact that we were kind of sent off to our bedrooms like bad people was very productive for me.
So, and I've listened to some of your sets on SoundCloud, so listeners definitely check out SoundCloud streamer, soundcloud.com/streamer. You know what streaming is, so you also know how you can write streamer. And he has some great mixes of, you have great mashups of very, very classic songs. And some are poppy, but also just like really classic songs, and you mix them up with a kind of I would say like hip hop beats. Well, not really hip hop beats. How would you describe it yourself? Because there's also like a lot of like reggae influences a little bit.
Sure, yeah. So when I decided that I wanted to have an avenue where, so basically as a DJ for my entire life, I refused to play anything which was pop or anything that you would have possibly been able to hear on the radio.
Yeah, what people request.
Exactly. Well, I saw the position of a DJ as an educator, that you should be responsible for bringing new things to people and not what they heard on the radio that day.
Not what they want to.
No offense. And then at a certain point, I thought, okay, that's fine to have this kind of finger on the pulse with certain like super trendy, progressive genres. But I realized that, you know, I do have a soft spot for pop music, as we all do. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be able to flirt with it in a way which wasn't cheap, that wasn't like, you know, like your wedding DJ, how he picks or she picks their music.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be something that still sounded like it had gone through my sense of humor and my sense of funky. And like you say, some of it's dubby influence, some of it's funky influence. They're all the groovy flavors that I like to play with. And I like the idea of being able to look back through my own personal history in music and pick out tunes which I think are absolute iconic moments. So a lot of it is definitely from 70s, 80s, 90s. I haven't made any remixes of stuff after that. Kind of, I don't know, I guess everybody has a golden age with music, so my golden age would have been 70s, 90s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 70s and the 90s. So
two.
Cut
from
back,
until.
Cut the 80s out.
Yeah, there was some good moments, but there were a fuckload of sorry, I'm not allowed to say the F
no,
word.
No, man, this is Amsterdam Radio.
Okay,
man.
Can I say it again?
Yeah.
There were a fuckload of really embarrassing moments in the 80s as well.
Yeah. So does this story you just told apply to the long lost Antarctica tape?
Absolutely not at all.
No. How would you describe that song though?
Okay, so this song was definitely made in COVID isolation. Mm-hmm. And with all the seriousness of us being locked down, I also thought it was actually quite hilarious. It felt like being like naughty children being sent to their bedroom. And so I saw a lot of humor in this idea of being pushed around. So maybe you'll hear that in this track, in the intro as well, the intro voices.
Well, let's go, people. Here's DJ Streamer. Oh, wait. Streamer Nymphonic Orchestra. It's a long-lost Antarctica tape. Enjoy, peeps. Let's go.
To this, then I and everyone else have gone. But humanity has survived. Finding this tale, for I hid this narration in the depths of the oceans of Antarctica, in a place so inaccessible it would not be found for hundreds of years. I have taken it upon myself to document the final years of human civilization. So, child, sit back. Just remember, that hope is a good thing.
Yeah.
Maybe the best of things.
Yeah. And Streamer. Nymphonic Orchestra.
Ever dies.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Gary. That was Streamer Nymphonic Orchestra with the long Antarctica mixtape. No, the long lost Antarctica mixtape about Corona, during Corona. And I thought, and all the listeners thought, that that was Morgan Freeman talking.
No, it's actually, I know, afraid to say, I can't remember the guy, but it's an English impersonator. And he did a spoof of Morgan Freeman. And when I heard that, I thought that totally fits in with my remix attitude. Instead of using Morgan Freeman's voice, have somebody remix Morgan Freeman and then I'll sample it.
That's nice, man. And it's also nice that you call him Morgan Freedman.
Oh, is it Freeman? Yeah.
Freedman, that's so German.
Freedman, I'll mention, yeah. Freedman.
Yeah. Lieve luisteraars, je luistert nog steeds naar Funky Nassau, je Radio Salto. Ik heb Gary Shepherd bij mij in de studio en we praten Engels. Want ja, dat is Gary Shepherd. It's just an Englishman. And we can talk Dutch, but Gary has been working for 18 hours a day with 4 hours of sleep, so you'll probably won't understand him if he starts talking Dutch to you. So anyway, you're a legendary DJ for more than 20 years. Oh, well, you've became a legendary DJ in 20 years.
Yeah, I wasn't legendary when I started.
No, I don't know. I wasn't there.
My mum might disagree with that comment.
That's good. So, yeah, so we just talked about you were playing at Hellraiser and stuff. And you also organize your own parties in Amsterdam and around.
I have a long history of having done that. Yeah, we had predominantly in the Paradiso. I've been like a regular DJ in the Paradiso for more than 20 years. And was a regular at the beginning in the VIP club. I brought my own evening there called the Dolly Rockers, which was also a kind of a club event with mixed with kind of performance art installation attitude alongside it. A few years later, I ended up having my own residency in the Paradiso, and that was called Big Night Out. Mm-hmm. And that was focused a lot on, again, I kind of link a little bit to the UK sound, a lot of the garage, electro, some drum and bass. It was the early days of dubstep, so we promote a lot of that. A lot of the kind of global bass thing that was happening a lot in England at that time as well. There was a lot of multicultural influences coming back into the kind of UK club sound. Mm-hmm. So that was the thing that we were very, we thought was hot and we were promoting a lot.
Cool. And so you were also nominated twice for the Gouden Kabouter. Mm-hmm. And you actually won it once.
I won it once, yeah.
And you were nominated in 2018. Did you win that year?
I can't remember. It's too long ago.
Do you? Yeah. It's 2018, so it's 5 years ago.
Yeah,
man.
I'm a legend in the club music world. So that means my memory has completely been disintegrated.
So what did you win? As a DJ or as a party?
Events organizer. Yeah. All right. For our event.
And for what event were you nominated? And for what event were you the winner?
Club Fresh. That was
Club Fresh.
The night we were doing. Yeah, Fresh and as in creme fresh.
Creme fraiche.
Fresh.
Yeah. And this was a club night
In Amsterdam. Yeah.
And was it like in the same location or was it?
We did it in the Melkweg. We toured it around a little bit. We also did a few festivals at the time. But our main base was at that time was in the Melkweg. And this was also in early days of things. We were at the Time Machine many times. That was an evening organized by DJ Pear back in the day. They were also like super radically important nights in Amsterdam back in the day. And they were the first events in Amsterdam which introduced this multiple room idea that every room had a different kind of vibe, a different theme, and you could go from...
Which is actually the norm right now.
Which is now is the norm, but back in the day, somebody had to kind of kickstart these things. So there was very much people were very happy to promote diversity in that time. You know, like each room could have its own thing. It didn't... you got a wide selection. And I think as things go on a little bit, they came a little bit more sort of homogenous. Like you go to a techno night and you just get techno, and you go to a drum and bass night and you just get drum and bass. Back in the day, there was a lot more fusion going on. There was a lot more searching and people sharing the exploration.
And also a very different way of promoting your event, I would say, right?
Yeah, I don't know if you can remember. Back in the day, people used to promote their events with paper flyers and things like that. Things which, you know, this is way before socials or... word of mouth. It was a different era.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not easy to get Paradiso or Melkweg full, you know?
No.
So how did you guys get to do that?
By bringing quality every time.
That's good. That's what I try. I bring quality, but my venue's still empty.
Yeah, it's always a struggle. It's always a struggle. I mean, it's just the nature of things which are, you know, super easy to explain and define, usually are sometimes a little bit narrow. They don't have like a whole, and if you're busy with something which is, you know, fresh or, you know, a little bit, you know, trying to shake things up, you will find it a little bit harder to find words to entice people in, but you just keep doing it and then, a few years down the track, people will get it.
And what would you say is your favorite club night so far?
That I've organized myself?
Yeah, that you organized yourself?
A big night out in Paradiso for sure.
And that was monthly, weekly?
Yeah, monthly. Where we started
and
off.
And how would the preparations go?
We started off playing in the basement monthly for a couple of years. We did that. And then we moved into the big room. And for me, what was really nice about it playing in the big room is we got a little bit better budget. So I could invite lots of DJs from England. So I would put basically all of the budget went into being able to give a stage to the things which were happening in the UK, also some other places. But so, I would take great pride in importing DJs for the weekend, which is, you know, not every club does that.
No.
So we would...
I mean, yeah. It's
squander most of our profit on flights and hotels and things like that, just so I could put a night down where I'm like, this is the bomb.
Yeah. All right. Hey, I want to play some more music, and this is another Gary Shepherd original, aka DJ Streamer, aka Streamer Euphonic Orchestra. You have a lot of great mashups, like from really popular songs that you make something new out of.
Remixes.
Remixes. Oh, it's not a mashup, eh?
No, because a mashup conceptually is mixing two things together.
That's true. It's a remix.
My remix is I take usually the vocal, maybe one other element, and then everything else around is me created.
So how do you find these vocals? You just search for a cappella songs? Or?
The dark web.
In the hole.
You go on the dark web, you can find anything.
Oh, yeah? Okay, sure. That's a good tip that I can work with. And then what programs do you use to produce it?
It's predominantly Ableton, Logic, Pro Tools. I'm quite at home in all of those programs.
Yeah,
but Ableton's the remix door.
All right. And what's your relationship to your Janis Joplin?
What's my relationship? Other than I bow down and show great honor to her legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For the listeners who don't know Janis Joplin, Janis Joplin was really big in the 60s and died of a heroin overdose when she was 27. She's actually a member of the club of 27.
Yeah.
And had
one of the original power women in pop, I would say.
Yes, true. Yeah, she had such a powerful voice and she just let loose on stage. Yeah. And like a lot of her live recordings are better than the studio recordings.
And
she was just amazing. And when you hear her voice, you would never think that this is like a white woman in her 20s, you know. So she was amazing.
And I would also say as well, she allowed herself to be heavily influenced by the black female vocal movement of the years leading up to her career, and yet it doesn't sound like she's trying to rip somebody off.
No, she's coming straight from the soul.
She's got enough of her own baggage to put in this thing.
True that. So here's Streamer and Funk Orchestra. Janis Joplin, Move On Over.
Okay, you guys.
Janis Joplin, Move On Over, Streamer Remix. Yeah, here by Radio Salto. Yeah, guys, you're still listening to Funky Nassau here by Radio Salto. I still got Gary Shepherd in my studio. The legendary DJ, been organizing and playing for almost 25 years in Amsterdam now. And we're very happy to have him on the show. Hey, and Gary, you went to playing at Hardcore House Fest. You went to, you ended up in the theater.
Yeah.
How did that happen, man? Come on.
So many, many years ago, around about the time where I was producing a lot of, let's say, ambient music, chill out music, lounge, I found myself immersed in the Dutch theater culture, where I was asked to, if I could compose music for theater, for dance theater. The very first things were like Kassen of Olaf, Nieuwe West. So yeah, I found myself, I've always noticed that my music has had a sort of theatrical side to it. Mm-hmm. And then by being invited to make soundtracks, to make things for theater.
So I guess other people also heard this.
That's definitely the case, yes. Yeah. And they heard it, they realized that before I realized the potential of mm-hmm. that. This was a world I was not familiar with prior to this. And yeah, since that day, I have totally flourished on the idea that what you're able to do in a theater is probably one of the most free places on the planet to express yourself musically in this day and age. Okay. So many other genres or places where music is performed, they have a set of rules that goes along with that. You come in a club, you've got to play club
people
music.
People expect
there's expectations.
Yeah.
And in a theater, I would like to think that people come to an experience like this with an open mind mm-hmm. and with very much the attitude of thrill me, show me something new, change my horizons, you know, feed me. So yeah, if you're a composer and you want to explore all the realms of what is available inside the category of music, then you know, theater, the same as film perhaps, is the one which has the widest spectrum of possibilities. There's no blueprint for how it should be.
Yeah. So next week, Wednesday, you're having the premiere of a new theater show at Stad Schouwburg, which is quite the location.
That's the bomb for Amsterdam,
right?
Yeah,
it's like right in the middle where everything happens during ADE, of course.
Yeah.
So does the theater show have, has anything to do with ADE, or is it more like a coincidence that it came at the right time?
In the group Nicole Beutler projects, where we will be performing next week, the music, there's a big focus on contemporary forward thinking in the music department, and actually mm-hmm. in our whole performance, it's very state of the art. But we also allow music to have a big role in it. So it's state of the art electronica, like Amsterdam Dance Event should be promoting, is always promoting. And I think this year they've moved on to other events which are not only club events. I think they have a rave, they have some club events, and they will also have some events which touch on this kind of performance art, dance theater, this kind of hybrid area, where of course technology is also very much at the front of these worlds as well. We have a lot of video, a lot of very high-tech light video and sound and things like that. So yeah, it's very contemporary, modern feeling.
Yeah, so and the story takes place in the year 2200.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a vision of how the future may possibly look.
Yeah. Where Nicole Beutler is in the process of making a trilogy of pieces, and it functions, it follows kind of around the aspect of how would the planet be, or how would we as a species, how do we accept the fact that our role on this planet is not so guaranteed as we would like to have thought it was?
Yeah.
And we are in very rapid, fast changing times, and Nicole and the aesthetics of the pieces that we work with try to deal with this in still with a sense of hope, maybe not for us as individuals.
Yeah, because the world is controlled by fungi, right?
Exactly.
And
so
are the humans still around, or are they nowhere to be found?
No, in the previous piece that we did, we made called Ginkgo, which toured last year, we already went to the phase where the world was getting prepared to be without us as a species. So Ginkgo was very much about saying goodbye to our history, to our collective achievements, and this new piece takes over from there. So we're a couple of thousand years afterwards, the Homo sapiens species is no more. It has undergone a metamorphosis to something else. And if you want to see what's going to happen to your great 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 grandchildren, then you should come and have a look at our show.
So next week, Wednesday, Stad Schouwburg. Where can people find tickets if they are interested?
They can buy them at the ITA, the International Theatre Stad Schouwburg website, via Nicole Beutler Projects. Also the Amsterdam Dance Event. We have two shows per night at 7 o'clock, 10 o'clock. The first evening is already sold out. The first show on the first evening is already sold out, to my knowledge. Still tickets
are
left.
Are there even any tickets left, Gary?
I will make sure all of your listeners can get tickets.
All right. You can go to the ITA website. That's ita.nl. Dat is de site van de Stad Schouwburg. Dit is wel een evenement die je eigenlijk niet wil missen. It's like a nice fusion of music, dance, visual and visuals. Dance.
Yeah. It's a totally immersive experience.
Well, I'm interested. I am actually going, so I'm gonna see it, and I hope our listeners are getting a little interested as well. Let's play another song. I wanna go to another. Actually, we're like 100% DJ streamer production hour today, which is I'm honored because I've heard some of your production and I really like them, and especially the sets when you put them all together, it really gives off a certain vibe, and I think a lot of people can appreciate this type of remixes.
So I hope your listeners will go along to soundcloud.com/streamer and they can enjoy all those mixes, remixes, original material.
I think
hours and hours of it.
So I have this track in the list, and it's called the Anunnaki.
Yeah.
What does this word mean, Anunnaki?
Anunnaki is, I hope I get this right. I should have prepared the answer to this one. In the early days of Mesopotamia, the very first writings that we have, they mention the history of Mesopotamian gods. And they have a race of gods called the Anunnaki, who, if there's anybody out there that's into the alien conspiracy theories, they will know the name. So the Anunnaki, according to their religious writings, were from outer space, and they came to planet Earth, and they helped Homo sapien develop the skills that we now have, agriculture and blah, 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 things like that. So any alien, ancient alien conspiracy theorists will know that the Anunnaki is the ones that are claimed to have been that.
Dat was de Anunnaki bij de Streamer Nymphonic Orchestra. We gaan er gelijk weer eentje achterna klappen. Gary, I'm a fan of Bob Marley, so I'm gonna play one of your Bob Marley remixes.
Go for it.
It's gonna be Waiting in Vain. This is on one of the 100% streamer sets on a SoundCloud. SoundCloud.com/streamer But everybody knows, man, come on. And I really want to play this song because this is one of my favorite songs. And I always wanted to get a tattoo of the solo on my arm, but I never got tattooed, so I didn't. But anyway, here's Bob Marley and DJ Streamer.
Rewind and come back, selector.
Yes, lieve luisteraars. Dat was Bob Marley, Waiting in Vain. The Streamer remix, man. Gary, thanks for that remix, man. That's one of the greatest remixes I've ever heard of Waiting in Vain.
My pleasure.
You know the album Dreams of Freedom?
Yes.
And it also has a really nice remix, but it's
no,
this
good.
One is like so different from the original that it's, yeah, it's like a new thing, and that's what I really like.
For me,
about
that's
it.
If I'm gonna make a remix, then I have to take it to a new place. There's no point in, like, I'm not a cover band.
It's
about a fusion of my vision and the original iconic vision.
True. So we're almost at the end of the show, unfortunately, but we're gonna hand over the torch to our friends from Finger Pop and Soul, so don't touch that dial, listeners. And well, Gary, first of all, thanks for being here, and I'm very happy that you shared a little bit of your knowledge to us and the listeners. And yeah, let's one more time tell the listeners to go to the Stad Schouwburg next week for to the show Atman by director Nicole Beutler. And people can get tickets at the ITA website, ita.nl, ita.nl, for a nice introduction to the ADE week.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And is there anything you want to say to the listeners? Is there any messages you want
to... Yeah, I would like to make one request to a very dear dear friend, if I may.
All right. Oh, of course.
So yeah. I don't have as deep, sexy radio voice as you, but let me just get into the...
well, you got a very soft,
okay. I think
nice
I'm ready.
Voice,
I'm ready.
Yeah?
Yeah, can I do
well,
it?
You
can
got
I try?
30 minutes. You got 30 minutes.
30
you got
minutes.
30 seconds.
Okay. Here we go. This one's going out to the dear Yusta Tehar and the whole amazingly talented crew of Nicole Beutler Projects and all the Lamperians. Rock and roll.
Yeah. Okay, lieve luisteraars. Nog eenmaal dank voor DJ Gary, DJ Streamer, Gary Shepherd. En je hoort ons volgende week donderdag weer om 8 uur. Dit was Funky Nassau. En let's go, kids.
So this is the one of the show tunes from the Atman, which you can hear next week in premiere at the ADE.
Yeah.